Good afternoon. Hold on, okay. Tape recorder rolling. Good afternoon. The North Dakota Public Service Commission today is holding an informal hearing on Otter Tail Corporation Cost of Fuel Adjustment Case Tariff PU05131. Today is July the 7th, 2007. We're meeting today in the commission hearing room. I'm Commissioner Susan Wiefald. Today I'd like to announce that Commissioner Tony Clark is not able to be at this informal hearing because he's presenting testimony to a congressional committee on telecommunications issues in Washington, D.C. But with me today is Commissioner Kevin Kramer, and I'd like to ask if he has any opening comments.
Just welcome, and thank you for being here.
All right, and then because we're taping this and because there may be people listening on the Internet, I'd like to go around the table and have everyone identify themselves and who they're representing.
I'm Thomas D. Kelsch, and I represent the Large Industrial Energy Group for Otter Tail.
I'm Mike Bradley. I represent Otter Tail Corporation, doing business as Otter Tail Power. I'm an outside counsel.
Was that Michael Bradley?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I'm Peter Bython with Otter Tail Power Company.
Bernie Brutlog, Otter Tail Power.
Bill Benning, staff.
Jerry Land with commission staff.
All right. And is there anyone joining us by telephone today?
This is Larry Shedin, S-C-H-E-D-I-N. I'm an expert witness for the Large Industrial Group out of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Thank you, Larry. Is there anyone else with you?
Not in my office.
All right. Is there anyone else joining us by phone today?
This is Bill Malcolm from MISO.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else joining us by phone today? All right. Next, we will... Should we first go to... Who's planning... Let's just start this way. Who's planning to go over the settlement agreement with the commission?
Commissioner Wiefald, I was going to do that.
That would be great. So we'll next go to Peter.
Michael.
Oh, this is Michael. Sorry, Michael Bradley.
Yes.
Peter's next to you. Okay.
He's next to me. On March 1, 2005, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application to change the fuel clause adjustment tariff to reflect the accounting requirements necessary to comply with the April 1, 2005 implementation of MISO Midwest ISO Day 2 Energy Market. On April 6, 2005, this commission issued its interim order authorizing interim rate recovery through the fuel clause adjustment for those 32 rate elements, subject to the commission ultimately ordering a different or modified accounting treatment for those costs. On April 8, 2006, your staff, Mr. Lean, filed a comprehensive report recommending approval of Otter Tail's application. Subsequently, the Large Industrial Energy Group intervened and on April 20th, 2007, filed direct testimony. On April 14th, 2007, Otter Tail filed reply testimony. And approximately 1 week later, the Large Industrial Group and Otter Tail entered into a settlement agreement. That settlement agreement is materially the same as the joint recommendation prepared by a stakeholder group in Minnesota and subsequently approved by the Minnesota Public Utility Commission. The only difference between the Minnesota recommendation approved and the recommendation settlement proposed to you is to reflect some actual experience we've had operating under that original proposal. We've made some minor changes in terms of the type of information we would provide under the settlement proposal and to reflect the differences in North Dakota law with regard to treating trade secret information. This commission on March 21, 2007 filed or issued a notice of hearing in this matter and identified three issues that you wish to have addressed in this proceeding. And I will briefly touch on how the settlement agreement addresses each of those three issues. The first issue noticed was whether the interim accounting treatment authorized for day two market costs is appropriate and should be continued or a different modified accounting treatment should be required. With the exception of Schedule 16 and 17 costs, the treatment of MISO Day 2 accounting was never contested in this proceeding. Staff's comprehensive December 8, 2006 report explains each of those 32 MISO costs, their purpose, and their relatively small impact on Otter Tail's fuel costs. Staff recently prepared analysis of the settlement agreement notes that after the December 8th report was issued, FERC issued a new decision finding that MISO, Midwest ISO, Schedule 16 and 17 administrative costs editors are no longer to be recorded as a fuel cost in purchase energy under account 555. The settlement agreement is consistent with that change in regulatory accounting. The settlement agreement correctly allows those significant Midwest ISO costs to be deferred until the company's next rate case. Deferral is appropriate when changes in costs or expenses are significant. The changes in costs occur, or revenues, in costs or revenues that could not have been foreseen. And in this case, certainly we could not have foreseen the change in FERC's treatment of these. And the costs and expenses are prudently incurred costs of doing business. In its next rate case, Otter Tail will be required to prove the reasonableness of its Schedule 16 and 17 costs, and will be required to prove, and it will have the burden of proof with regard to that, and that also demonstrating that it has not recovered those costs through its retail rates, which is the recommendation of your staff with regard to the settlement. We accept that recommendation. The second issue identified in the notice of hearing was whether the percentage of wholesale revenues derived from off-system energy sales should be shared with retail customers. And the answering that is actually in two parts. Looking historically, as demonstrated in the staff's December 8th report and in Ms. Brutlag's pre-filed testimony, the company used its asset-based and non-asset-based margins under its PBR plan, performance-based regulation plan, to avoid having to increase rates. Those revenues went to support base rates. After the PBR plan terminated at the end of 2005, the company took its non-asset-based revenues and associated costs below the line, and the contribution from paying for those non-asset-based revenues continued to help support retail rates. If the wholesale margins were to be shifted from supporting base rates to instead supporting fuel costs, since you can only use dollars once to support one element, the result would be you'd have to raise up your base rates.
We're familiar with that from other cases the commission has had before us.
And your staff's report recognizes that absolute fact. So the settlement on page 7 and 8 agrees, and the settlement says we weren't going to do anything historically, or can change anything historically. But going forward, the company is to file a rate case by no later than November 1st, 2008. And in its rate case, it is to address the issue of wholesale margin sharing on a going forward basis. And it will either propose a manner similar to that used by Xcel Energy in its recent Minnesota rate case, or it will file an explanation of why it recommends a different methodology. Whatever it recommends as the final solution, it will include in its interim rates for its interim rate filing in that rate case. The schedule of filing a rate case on November 1, 2008 reflects the fact that Otter Tail is already under a commission order in Minnesota to file a rate case at the end of September of this year, and resources for a company the size of Otter Tail Power simply do not permit it the ability to manage two rate cases simultaneously, one in Minnesota and one in North Dakota. You may remember me from the Xcel Energy gas rate case recently where Xcel was trying to do two cases at once. And we found out even Xcel can't do two rate cases at once, and Otter Tail Power has one-tenth the resources to deal with that sort of issue. So that's how we selected the November 1st. That's as quickly as we can physically get in and manage a rate case for North Dakota. Staff's comments on the settlement ask that we address whether revenues from wholesale margins during the deferral period have already recovered the Schedule 16 and 17 costs. That question has already, as we indicated, been largely answered on a retroactive look, and we will address that issue at the time we file our rate case with regard to 2007 and it's relevant to 2008. The third issue that was raised in the notice was whether any amounts already collected should be refunded with interest. Pursuant to the settlement agreement, Schedule 16 and 17 costs will be refunded without interest. As I explained earlier, these are legitimate costs that the company has incurred It has not had an opportunity to recover those costs, and just as it will refund that money without interest, it also will not earn interest on the deferred amount. So there's a balancing of interest there.
So the answer to that one is no.
There's a refund.
Yes.
Of 16 and 17 costs, and we will refund the 16 and 17 costs, but without interest.
Without interest.
Without interest.
No. Mm-hmm.
On the interest aspect of it. That is how it was handled. As you know, in South Dakota, those costs are being recovered through the fuel clause. In Minnesota, they're going to be handled exactly the same way. They're deferred for up to 3 years. Payment was made back without interest, the deferrals without interest. We are following the exact same balance of issues as were balanced and found reasonable in Minnesota here for the North Dakota resolution. And with that, Pete's here, Bernadine's here, Tom's here. We'd be happy to answer any further questions you might have concerning the specifics.
First of all, I have some questions, but first I'd like to go to Tom to see if he has any additional comments that he would like to make from the part of the interveners about the settlement agreement.
Thank you, Commissioner Weefald. I think Mr. Bradley did a nice job in going through the agreement. On behalf of the large industrial energy users group, we felt that this settlement, as Mr. Bradley indicated, is adopting the standards that were agreed to in the state of Minnesota, and we felt that that was an improvement over what things had been going on here. We felt that it was good for our group. The refund of the Schedule 16 and 17 costs we see as a benefit to the users. Also, the provision for some accountability reporting with confidentiality agreements. We as groups felt that that was a benefit for the consumers, the large group that we represent. As Mr. Bradley indicated, they basically adopted the provisions in Minnesota with adjustments to North Dakota law, which we agreed to as well. And we've received the staff's recommendation prepared by Jerry Lean, and our group is also in agreement with that recommendation. And I'll be able to try to answer some of your questions, and then Mr. Shadeen is also on the line if you have some technical questions.
All right. I have a few questions. But first, let's go to staff and see if they have any comments that they would like to make at this time.
You have my memo.
Yes.
They basically summarized pretty well here, I think, from Mike. To clarify on the confidentiality stuff here, as I understand it, that's an agreement between the parties. It doesn't call for a filing of anything here. Is that's correct?
The only materials we would be filing with the commission, if you go to paragraph 7, is G and H. But otherwise, you're correct. Do I have that right there?
Yep. And some of that you already received.
So we're not going to be asking for any confidential treatment of any filings.
Right.
The expectation is we've hopefully written this clear enough that the other provisions were between us and the industrial users. We have been for several years providing most of this information to them in a different format. This will be a little more detailed than we've historically given them. Before we gave them information that didn't require protective treatment. So you're correct. Most of this is between information that they wanted to have for their own planning purposes, their own business planning purposes.
So with the the idea that staff will be able to look at this in the next rate case as to whether or not that deferral should be included in the base rates that are established out of that case. With that caveat, staff's recommending approval of of the settlement.
Right. I need explanation of a couple of terms. Go ahead, Jerry.
I should clarify that staff has not been split in this case.
I understand that.
Okay, so
you're advising the commission.
We're an advisor in an advisory role.
explain to me the term, by this is on the bottom of page 2. You don't need to go into a long explanation. I just need to help. I don't deal with this really often, and so I need a little help. By the bottom of page 2, by March 1, 2009, Otter Tail should begin amortizing the balance of the deferred day 2 costs through March 1, 2012. Amortizing the balance, just give me the concept again of what that means. Does that mean?
That would just be, in essence, writing off the balance. And that's the reason that's there is to make sure that we filed a rate case and we're addressing it in that rate case. So you want to date certain.
Yes.
That we've dealt with the issues on 16 and 17.
Okay, so it's like other types of property, the way it's...
I guess I think of amortizing as... it would be like a depreciation.
Okay,
the
so
expenses,
it's a form of depreciation.
Yeah, you're making payments.
Without a rate change, we had to, in essence, write it off.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right, thank you. All right. Then on number 4, over the next 12 months, Otter Tail shall refund the FCA all Schedule 16 and 17 costs previously recovered through the FCA. In the staff memo that we received last December, these costs were $340,000. That was on page 3 of the staff memo that they said that the total amount of Schedule 16 and 17 charges from North Dakota customers since the start of the market was $340,000, and that was as of December 8th. How much money are we discussing today that needs to be refunded to customers over the next 12 months?
Commissioner, we've called the estimate at the end of June, and I don't have final numbers for June, was about
$550,000. $550,000. All right, and when it says over the next 12 months, does that mean that you could do it in 1 month if you chose to, or does it require you to do it over a 12-month period? That's on page number 3, and it's number 4. The reason I ask that is because I understand that MDU refunded everything within 1 month through their fuel cost adjustment, and I just wanted to clarify what the understanding is here.
The company's understanding is that we would take that $550,000 divided by 12 and flow it through, at 1/12 each month, roughly, or if staff agree wants a different way to come up with that, if it's a proportional thing, we can do it on kilowatt hours, or there's ways to approach it, but we weren't envisioning doing a one-time refund of it.
It was suggested this way because that's what Minnesota had done in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I just wasn't
after Minnesota, but if North Dakota chooses to do something different.
Mm-hmm. $550,000, is that a large amount?
And
there's no interest that's going to be paid. I just wonder
what the effect on the fuel cost adjustment is for that much money, but I don't think it's very much. Pete, do you have a? I'd have to pull out the numbers and compare here.
Okay, because we do a 4-month average in North Dakota, I'm not sure what it'll take some time for the whole thing to flow through.
The way that MDU did it was dropped it in 1 month and then it ran for that 4-month period to straighten out. As I read the settlement,
easier for me.
You think it's pretty clear you thought that it meant over the next 12 months?
I thought it meant over the next 12 months, but I hadn't given any thought to whether they could do it quicker if they wanted.
Mm-hmm. The wording doesn't preclude. I don't know, but I'd be interested in knowing what the other.
They do it all at once. It'd be easier for me.
You can see why there'd be some advantages to do that from your side as much as anybody's.
Yeah.
And I think one of the differences, Minnesota only has a 2-month average, and so they were a little concerned about it would have more of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And some companies, it may have had more of an impact than even for Otter Tail in Minnesota. Here, that's a good point, that you have the 4-month average, so it's smoothed out anyway.
So
I don't think we have a problem either way.
We could do it.
Do you have a, would you like to make any comments, or did you interpret it being the language saying one thing that you feel is important for the commission to understand here?
I guess I read it as over the 12 months that they could divide it out that much. Larry, do you have any comment from the technical aspect?
No, I think this is Larry Shadeen, Commissioner Wickall. With respect to your question, I think that some uniform basis over the next 12 months is what we anticipated, either on kilowatt hours or some other basis like that.
All right. Okay. Well, then, if that's the understanding of the industrial, and you would actually prefer that? The industrial users.
That would be satisfactory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think the reason that we're all kind of looking at each other, Larry, is because if it satisfactory is fine, but if you'd prefer to get it, you know, do it another way,
in the next
the company's
4 months,
willing to, there's no reason. I'm not so sure this language prohibits you from doing that. I guess that's the first question, and then it's just kind of between you guys, I guess. But
well, I would go back to Otter Tail, since we did not discuss this in our settlement discussions, the possibility of doing it sooner. I guess on thinking this further, on behalf of the customer, I imagine the sooner you get the money refunded, the better.
That's what I would think.
So if Otter Tail would be agreeable, I guess thinking about this further, the sooner the better.
So, all right.
You guys, is the language in the settlement, would that allow that without us having to change it? You'd change it?
Yeah, it says Otter Tail shall refund, so it's over the next 12 months. Yeah. We probably would need to just modify that language a little bit.
Since
or sooner if practical or something like that.
Right.
That's probably what you need.
Since we talked about filing a signed version anyway, that could be fixed.
All right. Okay. So if that is, you know, the commission, I guess, really doesn't care.
No, it doesn't matter. To
doesn't
me,
matter
it?
To us, but it is might be helpful. All right. Then on for purposes of Otter Tail Power's fuel clause true up calculations. The refunds for Schedule 16 and 17 costs should be reflected in the calculations for the periods during which they are made. That just means that as you make these, the refunds, that you're going to be doing what? I don't understand exactly what the next sentence means.
Commissioner Wiefold, Pete Bython with Otter Tail. I think what we were trying to achieve there is to make sure we weren't going backwards and trying to recalculate every month for the roughly 24 months or 27 months period previous, and that it would just affect the periods going forward.
Okay. Okay. All right. And then we have under 5, basically this section has to do with hedging. Isn't that correct? That they may use virtual energy transactions to take positions. Isn't that basically what you call using hedging? Or you don't view virtual transactions are different from hedging. I see you shaking your head for those on the phone.
I'm trying to think.
That's my understanding. It's different, isn't it?
Virtual
I know the virtual RMIs market. I'm familiar with the virtual market. I'm familiar with the real time market.
There has been a limited amount of virtual trading done by Otter Tail that's been included in the fuel cost adjustment.
Commissioner, initially we because we operate in different jurisdictions, Minnesota had made a recommendation that we don't use any virtual transactions for retail. And since that time, I think in the Minnesota order they gave. This is following that, and they gave us the ability to use some for limited situations. I'm trying to think of an example. I don't have the right technical people.
Well, it says only as a strategy to reduce risk or minimize costs.
Right.
I'm not quite sure how you can do that if it's a virtual price and you don't know what's going to happen the next day.
My understanding, it has oftentimes to do with wind when it doesn't show up or does show up. You know, when you're doing things in the day ahead so that you cover yourself in the real-time market is what it's doing. So it it does act.
That's what I had heard. Yeah. Something, I can't remember if it was you or Brad or somebody I talked to about it.
Can you hear all these comments on the telephone, or should Jerry speak louder?
This is Larry Shadeen. I could hear those comments, and I just wanted to respond that I think virtual trading is a type of hedge on the basis that if the company expects the real-time market to clear to their advantage rather than the day two market being more expensive, the traders would do a virtual transaction on the expectation that they're, by putting in a virtual bid or an offer for load or for generation, that that would clear at a lower price on the real-time market and to their advantage.
Okay. And then under B, it says that if you do any virtual energy transactions that affect the FCA, that you're going to have that in separate information that's going to be filed with us monthly. Is that correct, my understanding of that? And then that you shall restrict the use of virtual transactions that affect the FCA to 10% of total megawatt hours. But then it goes on to say that you can go over the 10%. I thought that was very interesting. You can only do 10%, but if you go over 10%, then you better have a good reason for doing so. So,
Commissioner, I think the intent of that is to just to make sure we're not putting things at risk for the customer. I mean, there has to be some accountability, and that's why that percentage was put in there. And Mr. Shadeen may have a better recollection of it than I do from his participation in Minnesota.
I think that's correct, and I just Larry Shadeen here again, and that I think it's not to it's to somewhat limit the latitude of the traders, but not to unduly restrict them.
Have
the traders can sometimes take good advantage of the market to the customer's advantage.
Are you able to share with the commission if in the past you have ever gone over 10%?
Not that I'm aware of for the retail customer.
The next question was, and I understand that 10% threshold does not apply to non-asset-based trading activities, as that states in there, so that's an interesting distinction. Okay, and then I had a question about D under page 6. Otter Tail shall meet with interested parties to discuss the fuel cost adjustment forecast, its progress in achieving FCA forecast, and address any new proposals in the MISO Day 2 market. Protective agreements governing disclosure of confidential information may be necessary. And will staff be invited to attend these, since in my mind, they're an interested party, or were you only intending for that to be the interveners?
Absolutely. I would envision inviting staff if they want to participate. I just want to make sure I don't quite understand the legal part of it, but as long as that's fine, I guess I would envision staff when they come out and visit us regularly that they would be able to see any of the documentation and review things also.
Are these meetings are being done in Minnesota now already, right?
There haven't been any yet, but I envision that we will have those.
This is Larry Shadeen again, and I would like to say that one of the utilities is filing regular quarterly reports, and the reason why that company is Xcel Energy, and the reason why they're doing that is because they made this agreement in their rate case, their general rate case, which decision preceded the MISO decision. So Xcel is already filing quarterly forecasts with explanations of what's happening in the market and how they're making efforts to control that. And the industrials who have signed the confidentiality agreements are finding those highly useful for their budgeting purposes.
Right. So that's the same way that it works right now. Many times staff can go to visit, let's say, MDU or Otter Tail. As long as the documents are held, that the company staff has an opportunity to view those without us worrying about any protective agreements. Isn't that right?
That's correct. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to to clarify that it would have to be done that way, and staff would not have the documents in their possession.
Now, what if then let's say you held a meeting with interested parties to discuss one of these reports. Say the interveners and the staff were interested because a particular fuel cost adjustment forecast appeared interesting and they had questions, et cetera. And let's say Jerry learned some things at that meeting that he thought it was important to share with the commission. What would happen then?
Well, he's under a confidentiality. I mean, if he's signing a confidentiality statement with the parties, he's saying that he's going to keep the information confidential. He's not going to be able to come back and share the information that he has with other parties within the commission unless those parties also sign confidentiality agreements. He's not going to be able to bring back documentary information unless there's a trade secret order that would protect it, and that has to be handled under the provisions of the trade secret laws and rules. So, that's the way I see the handling of confidential information.
I would agree. Is there a way that if there's something that comes to Jerry's attention that is important to our work, there's able to be made a case or something that so that we could get that information filed, or does it have to be a contested case?
It has to be a contested case, I think, is the way the law, or based on the Supreme Court decision, it's evidentiary material.
But that would be fine if at some point, I suppose, if he found something that he thought then merited some type of a contested case, then they could deal with that at that time. But generally, I think it'd just be helpful if he could be aware of it in behalf of other ratepayers as well as the industrial group. It's not like we had other interveners in this case that represented retail customers, and so staff can be able to, you know, follow some of these issues as they come up. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm happy to hear that you would be. Would you just notify staff then of any of these meetings with interested parties? Can we put that on the record that you'll do that? Thank you. Okay. You explained, I had a couple questions about the dates for the next rate case. I think I understand the just reasons for that. So I don't need to go over that area. I thought it was interesting under number 10. I can tell you that if number 10, if anyone required, if FERC started any action that would require Otter Tail to purchase energy to serve native load customers at LMP market clearing prices, I would imagine that this commission would get quite excited about that issue as well. So as soon as you hear of anything like that, you be sure to let us know. All right? Anyway. Then under additional request by large energy group, that's in. Would you address that?
Yes, Commissioner Weefold. Again, this was in Minnesota because it was a sort of a combined settlement with all the providers, and they all agreed to. With the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, that they would do an investigation and do sort of a comprehensive review of the MISO Day 2 operations and the effect on Minnesota ratepayers. Because it was a little different here in North Dakota, we were only dealing with one energy provider. the Otter Tail couldn't speak for the other companies in North Dakota and didn't want to be held out there as trying to make a decision for them. Also, we're aware that the North Dakota Public Service Commission can do what wishes on that, and so in trying to make this agreement as sort of close to the Minnesota agreement as possible, we decided to phrase it as just a request by our group alone. Otter Tail is not opposing it, but they aren't asking for it, and because if this commission would decide to do this, it would affect not only Otter Tail but MDU, XL, and so our group would feels that this is an important issue and basically is requesting the commission to look at that. And it's not anything that either of us can bind the commission to, and we're not trying to do that. We're just letting you know that this was done in Minnesota, and our group has requested your commission to look at it and decide whether you would like to do it here.
Yes, I think it raises some interesting questions about the parameters of the study, because it could be huge or it could be more limited. And we all know that even from a study that MISO did of its own on its own, that at the first year, the cost benefit ratio was not high. So my question would be whether we would want to go back to the beginning of the market and go over all that again, or whether we would want to take a more recent year if the commission chose to do this, to see what the cost, how the comprehensive view of the consequences of the ratepayers should recommend changes as appropriate, whether we should take a look at a more recent year if we choose to do this, and have people bring in their costs. And it's so hard with the market, prices, because there's energy costs that are fluctuating apart from the impacts of MISO, but we also do know that there's been a lot of costs that have been incurred through the MISO market as well. So I would want to visit, quite frankly, with the utilities and your group to just determine just what the concerns are, what the scope of the study should be. Whenever you ask companies to provide a lot of information, it does take a lot of time. And also, our staff is small, and it's very difficult for us to have the resources then to look at it in a very comprehensive manner. Plus, I would imagine that your group of people doesn't have unlimited resources either. And so I would be happy to visit about the scope of that and what you're really trying to have us find out, so that we could limit that for the benefit of all parties.
Either that, or the thought has crossed my mind several times that just as part of our daily responsibility, at some point we ought to be taking some sort of an investigation into its effect on ratepayers in general anyway. But Susan's exactly right. Every time you think maybe tomorrow will be better, it never is. But at some point, it is a reasonable discussion for us to have, not only with your group, Tom, but probably, as a commission, to just say, hey, what might an investigation like this look like? What might be some questions we want to dig into on a broader basis? And so at any rate,
I would say that within the next 3 months, we'll make sure that we take a look at this request and try to get some input from parties as to what would be most beneficial, so that we end up with something that without unlimited
be useful.
That would be useful, but not take unlimited resources. Yeah, because that can get to be really overwhelming. Okay, but helpful. All right, now those were all the comments and questions that I had on the document. Commissioner Cranston,
no,
did you
have
any
else.
Others?
Staff's memo was very good.
All right. Is there anything other parties who are here would like to share now before we close? I would anticipate that we can put this on the meeting in 2 weeks. If you have any slight change that you would like to make as a result of the discussion here today, do you think that would be a reasonable time frame? Do you get that in before 2 weeks?
I would think so.
So that we can take action on this.
Schedule it and then, That'd be great. Mm-hmm.
All right. And I know that Commissioner Clark is not here today, but he'll have the record of this informal hearing that he can listen to. And he also has the ability to visit with staff about this. So I'm sure he'll be able to feel comfortable on this matter. All right. If staff, any closing comments?
I'm assuming that the agreement is going to be modified along the lines of what was discussed as far as the refund and then filed.
I'm playing with words as I'm speaking, and hopefully we can get this resolved yet this afternoon. Mm-hmm. We'll get it resolved. Okay, quickly.
Okay. And if there is nothing further today, then we'll close this informal hearing. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the work that has gone into this. Very thoughtful document.